in Joshua chapter 1, if you'll turn your Bibles there. You know, when we talk about parenting, when I think about doing parenting, I always think, you know, where do you start? Because when I think about it, I just think there's just so many things to talk about. You know, so many areas. We're covering zero to 10 today. And there's plenty of areas in that. You know, most psychologists, most people in the world will say, you know, show me a five-year-old. Show me a five-year-old, I'll show you the man, or I'll show you the woman. A lot of people think by the time six or seven, the character's done and dusted. You know, so the pattern's already set, which is kind of scary. Even for some of us in this room, you know, that's pretty scary to think, you know, four or five, it's not so much done and dusted, but it's set. There's some things already set there. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, we all know this verse. You know, the Lord's about to command Joshua. Moses moved on. And in verse 6, he says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth." And he goes on again, and he says, verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I pick this deliberately because we're going to be starting a bit of a series over the next few parenting devos. And what we want to talk about today is the courage associated with parenting, the courage you need to be a great parent. You know, and obviously the context here, Josh is about to take the promised land. And he says, man, if you're going to take this land, you need to be strong and courageous. It's amazing to me that so many great men in the scriptures, like Joshua, like David, you know, they did phenomenal things. You know, they conquered in so many ways. And yet, as parents, we don't know about Joshua, but we know David for sure. As parents, you know, when there was real courage to be a parent, there are not many great examples in the Bible. But even the great Samuel prophet, you know, Samuel the great prophet, what is it, you know, when they looked to Samuel, they said, hey, we need someone else, give us a king, we can't even look to your kids. Yeah. You know, your kids aren't great examples. That was Samuel.
Yeah.
You know, David, you know, if you look at David with Absalom, remember when David for a whole year, or even more, Absalom was there living in another place. What did David do? Nothing. Didn't even go see his own son when he brought him back. You know, the whole issue with Absalom when there was that split. You know, there was some massive stuff going on. What was it? I mean, here's the great man, slew Goliath. You've got to know that somewhere in there, for all their courage, there was a lack of courage when it came to parenting. Because kids will bring out. I mean, if you want your weaknesses exposed as a person, as a character, your kids will bring that out.
That's right.
You know that. Your kids will expose just where you are as a man and as a woman. And so for us, this whole idea of courage is super, super important. So today we want to talk about courage. So this Devo today, we're going to try and be as quick as we can and open up to some question time. But we're going to go through some areas where we need to be courageous. A couple of things to talk about. What areas do we need to have courage in to be parents? And the other one is, why do you need to have courage? Why do you need to have courage? So the first thing we want to talk about today is why courage. You know, why courage? Why is courage so important? So Karen, my lovely assistant.
Come on, Karen.
No, sorry, I'm not very good at microphones.
At least you can spell. Because while I was doing it, I'd struggle with spelling courage. No, I wouldn't. I don't think I can handle courage. Okay, what is the merits? You know, why courage? If I was to ask you, you know, why courage? What would you say? Well, the first one I've got down, we can talk about these a little bit. The first one I've got down, why do we need courage? Because I think parenting is scary. I think, believe it or not, parenting is scary. But what's scary about it? Dwight, I've never seen you so quick in all my life, Dwight. I can't believe it. Dwight Veman, first hand. Can we take a video of this? Dwight, you're surprised too, aren't you?
Oh,
you're
shocked.
One of your best buddies. You're like sitting there thinking, this is amazing. Tell me, Dwight.
Yes,
why? Why
Why is it scary?
Yeah.
Because they might turn out to be like you.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
no, not me.
No, it's not mine.
You'd be happy for the turtle like me. Okay, put that down, honey. I think you might want to...
Hey.
Oh, hang on. Is this all under the...
Hey.
I'll let her do it. Okay, it's scary. Scary because they might turn out like us. That's fair enough. And let's face it, a lot of us will often say about our children, you know, and parents will go, oh, I don't want them being like me. We say that. I don't want them. Hopefully you say, I want them better than me. Yeah. Not exactly like me. Okay, what else is scary?
You can't have too many because I
don't need to. That's what I said. That's why I was going to rub that out. So you've got all the five, but see, I rub out. That's what I would do, yes.
Can leave an argument.
What's that? Yeah, I mean, isn't it funny? I mean, if we were to meet Obama, we'd be just super, super respectful. He'd be like, oh man. But do you think his kids give him a bit of cheek?
Yes.
Do you think his daughters give him a bit of cheek? It doesn't matter who you are, right? You could be whoever. Your kids will always just, they don't care. They don't care who you are. They give a two-who, how famous you are, what your accolades are. If they want to have a crack, they'll have a crack.
Right.
And nothing's going to stop them. And that can get scary. Because most of these people aren't used to people giving him cheek. So, again, it's an insecurity. What else? Make a mistake. Okay, I've got a couple down. It's scary because you don't want to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to make a mistake. Mark?
You can write it bigger, Karen.
Say again?
You can write it bigger?
Larger.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to take notes. Please excuse her because she's... it's her first time. Nice and big. We can rub it off. Anything else to say, Mark? That was it. Okay. What about, Sam?
Oh, I was going to say, I think it's scary because we were raised by our parents who aren't perfect, and our default parenting is what we've inherited from them.
That's true.
And sometimes it's not very good, you know, a lot of the time it's not very good.
That's true, yep. Right?
I think it's scary because there's so much at stake.
Okay. Yeah, it's a big responsibility. There's so much at stake, yep. Claire? Okay. Yeah. Paula?
Kind of what Claire said is because there's so much sin involved.
Right.
Like, I feel like there's lots of sin involved when I'm going
to repent. Doing damage. You know, you don't want to do damage. And this is where you come into, you know, there's some crossover here, but a classic example of that is when it comes to, when we get to areas we need to be courageous in. Obviously, discipline is a huge area to be courageous in. And you know, it's that whole idea of you don't want to do damage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the views out there of people saying you shouldn't smack, should you smack? And we'll talk about all those things. But you know, how hard to go? That's the challenge, right? How hard to go? And you don't want to do damage. Now, I think there's a solution to make sure you never do damage. By the way, but anyway, that's never's too strong. anything else on scare before we move on? Lindy?
Trying to be able to discern what you should expect of the child when they're what are they capable of? You know, if they're messing up, is that because they're badly behaved or is that just their level of maturity?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
We've got a point on that.
Yeah, I think we've got a point on that. One of our last points is why do they need courage? Because we get confused. What's what? It gets confusing. You know, what do I do? I mean, a lot of us have said that. I've got with you guys, some of you here, just like, what do I do? Aaron McKinnon, I think, was going through some issues with Samuel. Remember that? And he said, what was it again? I can't remember what it was now, but... he's just getting angry and stuff, right? What do I do? What do I do? You know, what do I do? And I said that as well. Okay, what else do we need courage? We get weak. Okay, we get weak. What do I mean by that? We get weak. Tom?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like, because it's a long-term investment, and sometimes you'd rather just give your kids away for at the end of the day.
All right. Okay, yeah, I was...
It's not going to run that deep.
Well, I was just speaking to the Carls. I said, so where are the kids? I said, oh, we just, what exact words? We just dumped them and ran. He said, we just dumped on the brain. It's very pleasant.
Whereas you have that discipline ongoing, and it just seems to
yep.
Oh,
yep.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the things I find, you know, the weakness here is keeping the same standard. The
okay,
whole time.
Consistency.
Not going, oh, it's just not a good time right now to deal with that in the same way I would at home. Or, like,
yep.
If they get a smack, well, I'm out, what do I do?
Yep.
How do I deal with that if someone
yep.
else is around?
Which I think the big thing there is we lose conviction. We lose conviction, okay? One of the big things in parenting is you lose conviction. You know, kids are very good at doing what? Testing you. And what else?
Wear you down.
What was that?
Wear you down.
They wear you down. They wear you down. Kids wear you down, man. You can be the toughest, I'm telling you. You can be the most robust. You can be whoever you want to be, Mr. Hero, Mr. MMA, you know, take out 1,000 with a sword. But man, a child has the ability to just knock it out of you. You know, and you will, you know, it's very easy to lose your conviction. You know, we do, and daughters do it. I've seen it, you know, I've seen daughters do it with their fathers. You know, I know I've talked about, I won't keep using up Lorene and Louis, but you know, I've seen the guy just wrap, he turned into a marshmallow. Right before my eyes. You know? Peggy.
I think when you got hard day throughout the day like that, it's easy just to be weak because that's a pop up thing, like you don't want to deal with a situation.
Yep. Yep.
So it's easy just to give in.
Right. Okay, yeah. We'll just move on. I want to keep teaching here because we will get stuck. So, Sylvia?
I was just going to say, back on the first
book,
like, fear of favoritism, like when you have the siblings, different characters.
Okay, that's our next point. We get sentimental. Well, we need to be courageous because we get sentimental. You guys are stealing my points here. So, we get weak, you know. Why do we need courage? Because we lose conviction. Punishment and consequences, you know, when it comes to dishing it out, we get weak, we lose that conviction. Let's face it, there are times, you know, and we know how this goes, and I've done this many a times, where, you know, I've got to the point where Jared and Brian, when they were young, got me really angry, then I stepped in. You know, then I felt the conviction, or, you know, it was infringing on my time, you know, I was in the middle of doing something, and I had to go, you know, Karen would say, Mike, I said, that's it, you know, I'm trying to do something here, I'm trying to watch my movie, whatever, then I'll get angry, you know. And again,
like
we know how that goes, right? That's what happens, like, you know, okay, now you're messing with me. You're messing with my time, now you're going to get it. Now, that's what we don't want. We want our consistency when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want, yeah, so anyway, let's move on. That's why you got your hands up. We need to move on, because
yeah.
I want to finish by 1:30. I know we can stand here for hours talking about parenting. Number three, we get sentimental. You know, why do we need courage? Because we get sentimental. I think someone said it. What happens? We end up having
favorites.
This is a tricky one. Do you have, I know it's sad to say this, but do you have a favorite? Not yet, Anthony says. Do you have a favorite? Sam Cameron soon will have a favorite.
It'll be a temptation.
He'll have a favorite.
It'll be a temptation.
He'll have his little boy. Amongst all
take
those little, he'll have seven cousin girls, whatever.
Eight.
We're going off.
But think about it, because no one wants to admit it.
Yeah.
No one wants to admit it. But I'll bet you any money, in your heart, there's a little soft spot for one over another.
Yeah.
Now, I know Ty's little. I know Ty for sure, without any shadow of a doubt. I know. He's another one. Daughter wraps him around his little finger. You're as weak as water when it comes to that little girl. And there you are. That's putting it to him publicly. Don't worry, Ty, we all are. I'm not doing anything. And don't worry, I'll name them all. Peter Apple with my Isha, weak as. He'll admit it. Sylvia's not preaching. She's saying preaching. I've been in his, I could tell you some stories at his house, but I won't say it. When I challenged one after, he said, oh, I was just mucking around. But anyway. But we get sentimental. You know, why do we need courage? Because that sentimentality creeps in. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to allow any of them to have favourites. What else happens? Well, how else do we get sentimental?
With the older and younger. So the older one, you expect them to do a lot more. So
okay.
You feel sentimental to the younger one.
Yep.
But at the same age, when the younger one gets to the same age, the older one, sometimes, you know,
yeah.
Hopefully you can see
yeah.
that actually I was expecting the older one to do a lot more by
yeah.
that age. But you
yep, that's true.
And
what are some signs that we're sentimental? Let's talk about this for a second. What are some signs we're sentimental? I think we make excuses. How many times have you made excuses for your children? And what do I mean by that? Make excuses. E.g., hang on a sec, Tom. E.g., you're in a crowd, okay? You want to say hello, but Johnny or whoever is a little bit...
Shy.
You know? And so they won't say hello, and you say... They're shy. I mean, how many times do you hear parents say that? I mean, it's the worst thing you can do. They've buried your buried their head into your lap or into your neck, and they're like, yes, I'm shy. No, I'm not. I'm not shy. If they could speak to you, go, I'm not shy. I'm flat reverse. I just don't feel like saying hello right now.
Yeah.
And the world does it, right? They make excuses for their kids. Mm. Or another classic example is?
I'm tired.
Sick.
They've been sick. It's tired.
About creative?
Say that.
Bad behaviour.
Creative.
That's the
And this may sound, and this is where I think the world, and I think the Bible for me is divided at this point, because you know it's that, well, they're tired, or they're this or that. As soon as you give in to any of those, you're already conditioning your children. If it's up to you, your children will become what you want your children to become. Okay, and I think that's the truth. If you want your kids to be friendly and giving, then when they're tired, you say, but you can say hello.
Mm.
You know, you can be friendly and be tired.
Yeah.
I mean, do you behave that way? I mean, sorry, I'm shy. You know, I'm tired. You know, I haven't eaten lunch. I'm not sitting here saying, well, sorry, I haven't eaten lunch, so I'm going to be moody and grumpy. I'm just that way when I'm hungry. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
Mm. Can't you want to say some things about these things? Sorry. You're not just a...
Hi, Dan.
No, I was just trying to think about being sentimental. I think I keep complaining back to favourites, but I think I don't believe we actually do have favourites. I would just say that at times one of my sons is easier to get on with than the other one.
Can you guess who?
Yeah.
So I'm a bit more like, okay, I'm a bit more like Jared, for example. We're actually very similar in a lot of ways. We do battle, and so we battle wills and we think similar and it's tricky. So sometimes that would exasperate me, and I'm sure it exasperated him as well. But I find Brandon just naturally easier to get on with. He sort of moves along, deals with it, and sort of pushes on a bit. And so I think I wouldn't say I had a favourite. I really don't think that's true, but that can get in the way, because Jared growing up would say things like, oh, you like Brandon better, and just things like that. He'll say to me things like, oh, Mum, I'll never be good enough for you. He'll say things like that really, when the kids say that to you, really touches the heart. You think, gosh, do I really make him feel like that? And I've got to look then at what I'm doing wrong and how to undo what I'm doing. So sometimes we have to be careful. We may not have a favourite, but we can naturally get on. Like, he gets on better with Jared sometimes than I have done. He can explain it better, and Jared takes it better from Mike sometimes, because he's different. He's probably a bit more like Brandon, and so
I mean, sentimental is a big thing. I think I just had a thought and I forgot what I was going to say. I did have a thought. I was sitting there thinking, I forgot what I was going to say. What was I going to say? Go, Judy. You say it.
Yeah.
I think I was going to, that's awesome. I think I was going to say now, it's one's always cuter than the other. There is, that's my experience. You've always got a real cute one, you know, the one, the joker. There's always a joker in the family, and he's the one that seems to, you know, get everybody going, so he seems to fly under the radar, you know. So that's what I find, and I don't know, I find, and this is not a general rule, but from what I've seen a little bit, It's always the second or the third that's way, that way. The firstborn's never that way because he's got no one. He's on his own, the poor kid. It's always the ones after that. They're the ones that get, you know, cheeky and cute and, you know, fly under the radar. So it takes courage not to allow sentimentality to get in. For fathers with their daughters, you know, sometimes I think God gave me sons because he knew I'd just be a wreck with a daughter. Seriously, I couldn't handle it. You know, could I smack them? I mean, it absolutely infuriated me. Otherwise, they could smile and I wouldn't do anything. They'd go climb a lolly or something. I don't know, ripe or something. But, Sam.
I think a big one that tugs at my sentimentality is like, if I'm, working too much or out too much, and then I come back, I feel guilt.
That's as good.
And then, I feel like I'm less inclined to discipline because I'm feeling guilty because I've been gone
that's
all day.
That's a very good point.
So yeah. I think that's where I feel my sentimentality really comes up then.
And there's nothing worse you've done that, because I know Karen did this to me. As soon as I got home, pulled me aside, now you need to, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did this and, you know, blah, 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 they were fighting and you need to go and deal with it now. And you think, hang on, I just got home. And now I'm flat out disciplining my children. You know, like the last thing I want to do is, you know, now I'm this big, so every time Dad comes home, gee, I hope Mum hasn't spoken. Or the kids realise that as soon as Mum pulls Dad aside, it's time to scramble because... Tom.
What I've seen and thinking about it, I've actually done is you get sentimental about your own childhood. And so you're trying to make up for it for your own child. So, for example...
Like you had it really hard.
You may think you've had it really hard. For example, I bought lots of wooden trains for my son because I never had them. I'm now learning to skateboard because I never got a skateboard.
Who uses a skateboard?
I've bought your children Xboxes and all that, but you never had one.
If that's the case, I should go and buy myself a Ferrari.
I'm with you.
That's a bit of sentimentality where you, you know,
that's true, that's a good point. Okay, let's move on. Number four. Why we need courage is because we get swayed. We get swayed. Swayed by what? Who said the world? Yep, the world. I mean, there's a lot of world out there right now, a lot of experts now who want to tell you how to parent. Right now, it's illegal to do what?
Smack
your children. Yes, it's illegal to smack your children.
At lunch.
Yes, it's illegal to smack your children. Yeah. Illegal. It's illegal to smack your children. No, I'm not joking. It's illegal. I'll say it five times for you. It's illegal. It's illegal. No. Yeah, it's illegal. You're not meant to smack
your
children.
Under your own roof.
Huh?
Under your own roof.
Under the house. In a cave. 7 miles below the earth.
Sorry.
On the moon. Orbiting the Earth,
you
in a plane.
Make it clear.
Oh, I guess if you left, no, I guess if you left Australian waters, you'd be fine. Yeah, I guess
how
you far around many other countries. It's... I'm not telling a lie. It's illegal to smack your children, isn't it?
Is it?
No, I think it's here.
It's open to interpretation.
Well, I'm sure it isn't. Look, it's one of those things that's illegal, but who's going to?
Right.
What does it mean? Okay, we get swayed by popular opinions, psychology, the world's teachings. TV, all right? What else? What else we get swayed by? Obviously, one of the big things, I think, which Sam touched on just before, we get swayed by our own emotions. And sometimes we discipline based on how we feel. And that's where consistency comes in. But it's true, you know, we're swayed by how we're thinking, how we're feeling at the time. You know, our kids could be, oh, I'm tired, or I couldn't be bothered, or I'll deal with it later. And it's tough. It's tough when you know, all that feeling. Like, I've had a bad day, and you think to yourself.
I'm just going to rub this off. Everyone's got that, because I'm
going to
have to put the next point.
You can go to the other side if you want. Any other thoughts about what we get swayed by?
I'll look here.
Sam's going to take a picture. Say again.
Sorry,
not my good license. Okay. That's a great point. We get swayed by our kids. Like, and have you ever this situation, like, what's the truth? Have a thought to yourself, I'm sure they're lying to me, but they're doing such a good job. Something? like you're convinced of it. You think, oh, I'm not going to discipline because I'm just, what if I got it wrong? You know, it's like you have to go to a court of law. You know, hang on, I'm convinced if I, and then you have to be detective. You ever done that, been a detective for your child?
Yeah.
So tell me this, what about this, and what about that, and what about this, and, but, and you get swayed. You're not even sure what the truth is anymore. It's tricky. Anything else? The fifth, oh, Mia?
I was just going to say something regarding getting swayed, why I put psychology there. Just the whole, what Mia was saying, what other people think, or just the different, lot of different teachings about how to bring up children in the world. And I know we're probably a little more of the old-fashioned type, if you like, hopefully the spiritual old-fashioned type. But there's so many, like I did a lot of stuff at uni. There's a psychologist called Dave Winnicott who used to talk about good enough parenting. And there's parenting in terms of you don't have to be perfect, you just have to be good enough. Which, of course, you know, that we don't have to be perfect in following God's word, but just be careful. It's a lot of the psychological teachings, and they're great out there. But however, some of the oldies, you know, this is a good book, Boundaries with Kids, a lot of you already got it, by Cloud and Townsend. And it's just because it's a bit older, 10 years old or however old it is, I don't even know, 1998 or whatever, it's still got some great ideas. And just because our hearts don't change, our kids are still naughty or they're good or they're this and that, if the hearts don't change, because we can still use some of these great books. We don't have to get in most modern technology. It doesn't mean it's going to work better.
Yeah. Amen. Sam?
I say, you know, the current culture of parenting is that this passive parenting where, you know, you're like, you don't really discipline your children at all. And you just let them sort it out themselves.
Yes.
Or you provide a method of distraction to turn them away from something that they should be disciplined for.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's, we're going to end up with a leaving teenager.
That's a great point.
Concentrate because they'll be always distracted by something else.
That's a great point. Yeah, you hear that. One of the methods is distraction. No, what about teaching?
Mm.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, Igor.
People get distracted, let's by too much information.
Right. Yeah, it can be for sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
You've got to keep it. You've got to get. You definitely. We have to keep it simple. I think that's absolutely right. Lastly, we get confused. I think that's a bit like getting swayed. You know, what is the truth? Conflicting studies. Maybe what Igor's saying. You know, too much. There's too much information. What works? What doesn't? But all these things sometimes can dent our courage, our ability to want a parent. And it's think somehow I'll just let it go, and it'll all work out. I can speak from us personally. We worked hard with our family. We worked hard with our boys. We got lots of input. We definitely worked hard. We talked a lot. We did basic things. We'll go through this. You know, what areas do we encourage in? But we did devos. You know, with these sort of classes, you think, what do? I would encourage you to have a devo at least once a week. There were couples, we were around people that did every night for a while, but we knew that we couldn't sustain that. But we could do once a week. That didn't mean we didn't talk to our kids or study the Bible with our kids, but once a week it was family devo. And we did that up until, I don't know when we stopped. We stopped a couple of years ago for sure. But we did it for a long time through, through high school for sure. All the way through high school. We had a devo, and that were the times we'd teach, we'd bring things up, not only then obviously, but it was set, we just did those things. And I don't know, I talked to families at times, and I talked to the ministry staff, and they say, I don't know how many parents are having family devotionals. I don't know how many times they're sitting with their kids. And I want to encourage you to do that. Have a family time. Have a deep devo where you start teaching your children. Let's move on. What areas do we need to have courage in? Okay, what areas do we need to have courage in? The first one is, and we'll look at some scriptures here soon. You might be thinking, man, where's the scriptures, buddy? What areas do we need to have courage in? The first one is being open. You know, being open about what's going on in your life. You know, how is you know, be open. Getting help. Be honest. You know, I think, be honest with yourself. If I was to rate, if I gave you a bit of paper to rate your parenting, as a parent, how do you think you're doing right now? on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your parenting? I'm not saying it has to be 2 or 3, but how do you think you're doing as a parent, raising your children? How do you think your kids are doing? You know, the Bible says test yourself, see that you've got the Spirit. We need to test ourselves. Put a bit of a test to your kids. How would you rate them? Are they friendly? You know, are they friendly? Or is it hard to get them to be friendly? Things like that. How do they talk to you? Are they respectful? I agree with what Igor's saying, you know, basic things. Are they respectful? Yeah. Are your kids well behaved? Do they listen to you? Or do you have to threaten them to get them to do something? Well, we know how that works, right? You know, you don't want to be in that situation. Look, have we had to threaten our kids to get them to do something? At times we have, for sure. Man, if you don't do this, you don't change your attitude, this is going to happen. But isn't it nicer just to be able to say something? You know, hey, just in a normal voice. Do you have to yell to get your kids, you know, to do something? And we always tell parents what? Don't yell at your kids. They need to respond to a normal voice. Otherwise, you'll know that the decibels has to go higher and higher each time. Come here. That didn't work. Come here. If you don't come here, I'm coming to get you. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I better come now because, you know, they just take it one step higher. Or I think I scared the little ones there. So. Hi, Rosie. Did you think that was funny? Yes, the boys used to think so too. but you know what I mean? But what are they like? If I was to ask you that, can you give them simple commands without, you know, come on, you know? And then we know how that works at church, and sometimes we hate it. You know, people come up, we go, okay, I've got to go through this. Okay, I hope you're going to be friendly now. Say hello to Mike, you know, say hello. And, you know, they bury their head or run away or whatever. And that comes across cute. But it's not really, right? We think it's cute, but it's not. You really want your kids to say, hi, Uncle Mike, or whatever, whoever it is. Hi, so-and-so, whatever you want to call them. Give them a hug, you know, but are they? And I'll talk about this too, the thing about hugs. These are the things that just go through my mind, you know. Do your kids have to hug everybody? The answer to that question is?
No.
No. But if you want them to hug everybody, the answer to that question is? If you want your kids to hug everybody, then give them a hug everybody. Now, it's up to you what you want to do. But do my kids have to hug everybody? No, just a good hello, be friendly, high five. You don't have to give everyone a big hug. No, some people that are special to them, yeah, hey, give him a hug. But the point is, what's that like? If I was to ask you, think about that right now. What are your kids like? If you were to rate them. Is it easy? Or do they play these little games, you know, cover their faces, run away, it all becomes a game. No, some of that's okay initially. But ideally, you want them to be friendly and responding, eye contact, all those things. That can be trained. You may think, like, people in the world will think, we're talking about this, this is impossible. I'm telling you now, people in the world will think this is impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can't be done.
Yeah.
You know. But that's because, and we know, schooling, and what's out there in the world, what's the issue? You talk to teachers, mm-hmm. Teachers will tell you, and they're right, the issue with the kids is what? Parenting. You talk to Jared, you know, Jared went to Carrum Downs. He taught in Carrum Downs for a while. He had some horror stories coming up from Carrum Downs. Seriously, man. It was horror stories. Kids climbing up drain pipes. One kid, they had to call the police. He was up in the roof and he came through one of the teacher's offices. I mean, he said it was just crazy. Kids jumping out a window. Seriously, it was ridiculous. The teacher that was training Jared taught him, right, how to shut up properly. He went to another school. Where'd he go? The one over here, the girls' school?
Kilbrita.
He was so unprepared because at Carrum Downs, all he was learning was discipline. And now, when he went to Kilbrini, whatever, he had to figure out how he's going to teach a class for 45 minutes because at Carrum Downs, there's no way you teach a class for 45 minutes. It was all about church. Sorry, not church. It was all about class discipline.
Yeah.
And seriously, the guy taught him how to say shut up from his stomach. This is how you need to say shut up properly.
And there's a Christian teacher really wanted to.
That's him learning how to be a teacher. Well, I guess I can be a teacher then. That's crazy. Anyway, so being open, you know, what areas? We need to be open. Getting help. Be honest about where you really are. The next one. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Come on.
Let me get some scripture in here. What's time, Sam? 10 past, quarter past?
1:15.
We know this verse, but it's good to read. Deuteronomy 6, chapter 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You know, what areas do we need to have courage in? Courage to teach our children. Courage to teach our children. You know, what value do you place on knowledge? What value do you place on knowledge? You know, a lot of us would want our kids to have great education. What will you pay for that education? What will you do for your kids to get that education? Now, again, we live in a society that places a high value of knowledge. And I hate to say it, sometimes in the church, parents will go to extremes to get their kids this great education. But what are they doing about their children's spiritual knowledge? You know, what do they do about their spiritual knowledge? And we do. People pay 20 grand a year plus to send their kids to school. Do you want your kids to be smart? How many of us want our children to be clever? Seriously. We do, right? Of course we do. I want my kids to be smart. Definitely smarter than me. You know, I'm glad Brandon got 88, whatever he got, in civil engineering. I'm happy. He's smarter than me at school. And I wanted that. I wanted my kids. Now, I didn't believe I had to pay for that, like to the private school. There was no way that was going to happen. Not if I didn't get it. I survived without it. Amen, brother. Unschooled ordinary man. But we pay for that and we want our kids to be clever. But what about spiritual knowledge? Do you place the same value on that? You get your kids to do their homework? I'm sure you probably do, right?
Yep.
What you know, what's going on at home teaching your children spiritually? You know, what's going on at home? How young do you start teaching your kids the Bible? What's the answer to that question?
Very.
What time do you start, Claire?
Always, really.
Always? Well, you could do. People start singing when they're in the room. In other words, you can't stand there. How many of you started publicly reading scripture to your unborn child? Noemi did. Who else did it? Mark did. Did that, Sam? That's the problem, Sam.
comes to church, though, in the womb.
So. Sorry? Comes to church in the womb.
Bible studies.
Some people have told me that their kids,
gets a fair bit.
Their children have started jumping in the womb, they heard me start preaching.
You'd
love that. Is that what you're that. None of the four girls?
Screaming.
They were screaming in the womb. Okay, what do we need to teach them? Well, what do we got? I mean, we've got academia, we want our kids to have sporting achievements, all these sort of things, but what place do we put teaching them the scriptures? What place do we have the whole idea of impressing upon them the Word of God? You know, the song was telling me the other day with Kids Kingdom. They were teaching the kids, they got in their class. Who was telling me this? Was it you, Paula? Was it Paula? About how they were teaching them the Bible, the order of the Bible. And some of the kids were bringing their kids late and they could only like do two or three, but they've got their kids. Now you might think, well, what's the point of that? Do they have to know this? No, but it's not that. It's the fact that you're teaching them this is important. You know what I mean? It's not that. Why do we learn memory verses? It's not, well, what value is it for an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old or 6-year-old to learn the books of the Bible? It's the fact that you're telling them that this is important. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's good to know that. Think about the stats that people have got in their brains. You can ask some people about cricket or any sort of sport or whatever, or AFL, and some guys have got them. You think, what is that? So who won the 1967 grand final? You know, who kicked the first goal? Dwight already knows the answer to that question. But you know, the stats that people have in their brains, the things that people know, remember, are futile in the end. Think about it. It's futile. But do your children know the Word? You know, the courage to teach them the Word of God. It takes courage to sit down with your kids and train them and teach them. Let's move on. What's that? Oh, Karen. Go, Karen. Did I take away your point? It's got Karen here.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I was just thinking for me, a personal example, like, definitely when the boys were in primary school, I think we were living at Ripon Lee area in East St Kilda, and I know for me, academics, not over spirituality, but academics was very important, and probably still is in some ways, but... And I think going to good schools meant a lot to me. I didn't give them tutoring or anything like that, but definitely extracurricular things like taekwondo and swimming and all different things like tennis and whatever. And sometimes when you think about it, some of the academics that we put our kids through, even extracurricular stuff, not that that's wrong at all. I think it's great to do something. But it can appeal to our own pride if our child's really good at taekwondo or whatever it is. It can appeal to how good we look or if they do something well, but actually you sit down and ask the child sometimes whether they really, really want to do it. It's actually, oh, mum and dad are pleased when I do it or whatever. It can become our thing and not theirs. And I know for me, when we moved to Cheltenham, I had no idea about the schools. I thought, okay, we're moving to this area, I really didn't know it at all. And praise God, the Cheltenham Primary School that Brandon went to in grade four was even better. The Ripon Lee School was really good in East St Kilda, but this one was even better and catered to his needs a lot more. And even Cheltenham Secondary College, it's not in your top, I don't know, 50 Melbourne's high schools. It's not private or anything like that. But I tell you what, the discipline and the care and the love of the teachers there, and most of them, 90% of the kids graduate off to uni or TAFE or something like that. They just have it's a great feeling there, a great respect of the children and vice versa. And I changed my mind. I thought, you know what, if they're right with God, become disciples, and they give their heart to God, they'll want to do well at school. I don't mean you don't send them to a useless school out there, like, I'm not going to say the name of one. But you don't send them to a school where absolutely it's so bad they get beaten up if they get an A on their report. No, you've got to check it out. But definitely, if they're right spiritually and love God with all their heart, they'll want to put their heart into their college or whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, what are you teaching them about yourself? What are you teaching them about... what God means to you? What are you teaching them about commitment? You know, let's talk about Wednesday nights. Let's talk about commitment to the church. You know, we say this all the time. It will hurt you long term. You know, it will hurt you long term. You don't bring your kids to things if they learn, if they grow up and everyone else goes to Wednesday nights and they don't. You're going to affect them. It's going to be. Then you want the teens to study with and they start talking about commitment.
Yeah.
It'll hurt them. Don't be surprised if they're not committed. You know, but are we teaching that? Are we teaching our kids to be committed? Are we teaching our kids that God is the most important thing to us? And after that, His kingdom is, the church is. That's what we taught our kids. We didn't miss. You know, we went no matter what. And our kids, I've said it before, Wednesday nights, it was late, and our kids wanted to get home, they wanted to eat. It was later for us too because we'd stay back because of, you know, fellowship and stuff. And you might say, well, isn't it irresponsible for your kids on a Wednesday night to go to bed 10:30, 11? Maybe. But it didn't. Did it mess them up? I don't think so. I mean, yes, they woke up with their bloodshot eyes and you think, gee, I wonder what the teacher's going to think. Someone's going to be smoking marijuana or something. You know, but seriously, they woke up with bloodshot eyes. It was hard to get them out of bed. But we taught our kids, we go to church at midweek. That's the way it is.
Yep.
You know, and I'm telling you now, you think somehow, but we all, what parents think is it's going to work out. No, there's no magical formula. I don't want to talk about formula. I want to talk about practice.
Yeah.
Let me tell you now, what you practice and what you preach and the way you live flows on to your kids. Look out into the world. It's not an incident. It's not by gene that kids climb up drain pipes or carry them downs, okay? Or jump in roofs and climb down or jump out windows. That's not genes. That's parenting, okay? That's what they grew up with. They grew up with undisciplined parents who didn't care, they're allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. Okay, that's the life we live in. We have a choice. You have a choice today. Your kids could turn out. You may say, but what about the kids that people where kids didn't become Christians? Or the ones that came and fell away like I prayed about? Yeah, what about them? I'll tell you something now, what I believe with all my heart. Parenting was the issue. You say, but they're great parents, they're committed. Parenting was the issue. That's what I believe. You want to have a different view, go right ahead. I'm telling you, we made mistakes. If I had parenting again, we made mistakes. We allowed the boys play way too much computer. Way too much computer. Way too much computer. people used to say, you know, every time I come to your house, I think of Igor's laughing, I think Igor said it to me once. He said, every time I come to your house, the kids are always on the computer. Way too much. And you know what? I wouldn't do that again if I had my parenting again. Now, we obviously, some other things in our parenting made up for that, and we got through that. Some. One of them still plays a little bit too much. But I'm telling you now, if my kids don't make it, I'll take responsibility. You might say, oh, but Mike, you don't need to. They're adults now. No, 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 no. I don't see it that way either. Biblically, I believe I'm their parent all their life. And I should be able to influence my kids all my life. I can't handle when I hear parents, he's of age now, it's not my responsibility anymore. Really? You think biblically that's the truth? No way in the world. Look at the patriarchs. No way in the world. They had influence over their children all their lives. Absolutely. This does not happen by chance. Okay, it does not happen by chance. Don't think somehow it's all going to work out. So you start not teaching a man midweek that all these things are important to you, don't be surprised at the end, your kids won't be that committed. Okay, it won't be a surprise. Not to me, anyway. I can assure you. Let's move on with a few more we just want to do quickly. It's half past, isn't it?
Nearly. 3 minutes.
All right. What areas do we have courage in? Affection. Affection. You might think affection, courage and affection, yeah. Courage and affection. You know, courage and affection. It's sad for me to see grown-up women, grown-up sisters, teenagers, people that come to church, and you get these women in there, and it's hard for them to give you a hug. You know what I mean? You can feel it. You can feel it's not natural to hug you. Why is that? I'll tell you what. 9, 9.5, 10 out of 10, their father wasn't affectionate. As far as I'm concerned, I'll guarantee you, you can tell the children that didn't grow up with a very affectionate father, the girls particularly at times. So I want to encourage you brothers here for starters. You've got daughters, you love them. And you give them affection. And you may say, courage to be affectionate? Yeah. Because you know what? If you struggle to have affection in your life, you will struggle to give it at times. But not only affection physically, affection verbally. I think we've got to heap praise on our children. And it takes courage to say, I love you. You know, when was the last time you told your children you love them? You know, I mean, seriously, think about it. You think, oh, no, you say, hey, I want you to know I love you. Not walking out the door, I love you. That's okay too. But you know what I mean? I love you. I'm proud of you. That takes courage. You know how much courage it takes to be, you know, a lot of men struggle with this romantic with their wives. When was the last time you told your wife you loved her? It's amazing to me, you know, with these big he-men, you know, I'm just saying, you know, we want to tear buildings apart, we want to chop wood, you know, we want to chainsaw, we want to climb mountains, we want to go to the moon, you want to drive at 400,000 miles an hour, you know. Now tell your wife you love her. Your mom's just said, you know, I don't know, travel at light speed. It's true. Isn't it amazing? A simple thing. I love you. And we find it so hard to do at times. You think, well, what is that? It's lots of things. It's pride, it's selfishness, it's all sorts of things wrapped up in there. It also takes a little bit of something about it, you know. The courage almost. Say it. You know, the courage to be affectionate. And with the boys too. I made up for it with the boys to the point now where I can't even touch them anymore, but I force myself upon them. And they say, leave me alone, you're too annoying. I say, you're so different when you were little baby. He said, that was then. But let me tell you now, mothers and fathers, be affectionate with your children. Now, it's a wrong thing for me, I agree. Okay, my father and my mother were super affectionate with me, super, always touching, always touching, always touching, always touching. What's that, Anthony?
I said maybe Charlotte's a wog.
Why?
She can't keep her hands or feet off someone. She has to be touching.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. But particularly fathers, you know, please, please love up on your daughters. Please. Make sure you hug them, you're being affectionate with them. And with brothers, you know, with your sons as well. They need it. They need to learn to be loving men, you know. And if you want them to love their future wife, make sure they see you loving your wife. That you're affectionate with your wife. So, and the last thing is, courage where? We left the best for last. We should. It's not the best for last. What is it? Courage to what? Courage to smack.
Break the law.
Break the law.
Courage to break the law. Proverbs. Let's read a couple of Proverbs here. Courage to discipline. There was a book that James Dobson wrote. Anyone know what it was? Huh? Dare to Discipline.
How to Raise Boys.
How to Raise Boys. But it was Dare to Discipline. You know, it's funny how he should say Dare to Discipline, isn't it? But what's he saying by that? It's kind of daring us to discipline. But I think if there's one area we need to have courage in, it's definitely to discipline. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. What does that say? Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. That's an amazing problem. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. And then Proverbs 13:24. I'll let Karen say a few words on this topic.
Discipline.
Oh, really? 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Let me just say this on the outset, and I will hand over to Karen at that point, but in our household, the rule was that Karen was going to be the mother and I was going to be the father. And so when it came, she was more the nurturer, okay, and I was going to be the man. Now, that doesn't mean I wasn't a nurturer as well, but while I was in the house, if there was a problem with the boys, I took care of it. Okay, so while I was around, I was the main, just because a lot of times she was on her own, then she would do it. But if I was there, I would be the guy. I would take on the discipline. Okay, and I think that's important. I think it's really important that those roles are defined. I think it does get a bit weird, and I think, again, from pure observation for me, I don't have any science on this, no stats, but when you have a mother who does all the discipline and is the harder one out of the two, you get lopsided children. I think it's not healthy. It's not healthy at all. The mother was there to be that lover, the nurturer, the carer. That's her role. That doesn't mean she shouldn't discipline. That doesn't mean she hasn't a hand in raising the children. Of course, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, while the parent... Now, what are you guys laughing about up there? You're not going to get away with that. What is it? Come on, Sylv, spit it out. What did he say? What was Pete's mum complaining about? Yeah, and it's true. I mean, and
that's why we all messed up.
That's why we all messed up.
I actually don't repeat the passion.
So that's what Peter said. That's why we're all messed up. Probably true, Pete. But while the husband, again, you see it. There's nothing worse for me than being in someone's house and you see, especially while the husband's there. I don't mind a mum being tough. She has to be. If she's got the kids, yeah, lay it out. Give it to them. But when the father is at home, when you're at home, you're the man. And you don't, heaven forbid your wife, okay, because you're not doing anything, has to stand up and now becomes the hard line one. That is weird. Number one, it's not good for you. Number two, I'm telling you now, that's not God's plan for your family. Okay, don't leave it to your wife. You know, and some of you do that. You think, oh, she'll do it, you take care of it. You know, that's not the plan. That is not the plan. Scared.
I don't think our time agrees with that.
Why is that?
Because we've tried that.
Yeah.
And so when Eagle's not around,
yeah,
they tend to not listen even more. Because they haven't learned the respect equally with the mother and the father.
Okay, let me say something to that then. What I would say to that is if you're getting your kids to do something and they're not listening to you, which they should do straight away, then ego is, generally that happens because they're not listening to you. Right? Well, that's to me what should happen.
Well, that does happen.
Well, that's the main thing at that point.
If they're not listening, then ego will be the disciplinarian. Like, I will then say to them, okay, well, we've organised to go do something.
Yeah.
Because you're not listening.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not, because most of the time he's not around.
Right.
So they need to. It's almost like sending them a mixed message. I will listen to mum, when Papa's here,
yep.
And I won't listen to Mum when he's not,
yep,
here, because then there's no one to discipline.
Right. Okay, let me say, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Here's the deal, though. Well, I think what we're dealing with here is a situation where it's the mother doing it all the time. Do you know what I mean? But in that case, so for instance, you get situations in families where it's you get there, and as soon as it gets tough, it's the mum has to do it. So what you're saying, for me, what happened is because you're used to doing it, and if you win those battles, that's fine. Well, then the man gets lazy and leaves it up to you.
So you're saying if the man steps in when it's a general...
Yeah, I would do that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. To be specific, yes, that's what I would say. If it's you, then if they're trying to get him to do something, do it.
Yeah.
Now, if they don't,
yeah,
if you're having a problem, then you've got to give him a step,
yeah,
in. But, yeah, I think that's right. If it's general, that's to clarify. If it's general, what happens is the man generally sits back and allows the woman to do it. So she becomes the more disciplinary one. Whereas I think the guy needs to step up. You know, and obviously he sees disrespect. So, yeah, it doesn't mean... And I think sometimes when it comes to the real hard stuff, yeah, I think the man should step up. My experience is in the households is generally... That's not what happens. A lot of the guys are happy to leave it to the wives because she's used to dealing with it.
Yeah.
Like what you're saying.
You were saying before, like as soon as you would get home, Karen would say, can you go deal with the kids?
Well, if there was something that they were messing up with her, she couldn't get resolution on with them. In other words, if she didn't win the battle in some sense, then I would have to. Obviously, if she tried to discipline it at all worked, it wasn't a problem. There was more times when she didn't get, she just, they wouldn't listen to her. It's just the extreme cases.
Be to
not at all. Not at all.
Because
no.
Of fear of, oh, they're not going to love me, or they're not going to like
no.
me.
No, 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 no.
Because I know a lot of mothers that do that. They're afraid to discipline, and they do wait for their husbands to come home because they understand that they should be the more emotional one. They don't want to hurt the children's feelings, whereas the father's the less emotional. Therefore, it's their job, and it's not
going to damage them. Yeah, I know. And these things are tricky concepts, right? But I think what we're dealing with is a situation where the man needs to be the man, needs to be the leader of the house. And so that needs to be... I still think, by the way, as Paul said in Thessalonians, he says, you know, I was like a mother caring for you, and I was like a father admonishing you. There's no question for me, biblically, that's the model. The model is the mother is that generally that nurturer. That doesn't mean she doesn't discipline, doesn't mean she doesn't smack, but we're dealing with an overbalance where that's not the case. You know,
in our household, discipline happens with the parents. And probably, I do discipline, but it's
No, no, of course not. Of course not. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's putting a lot of pressure as well.
Yep. Yeah.
I was just going to. Oh,
yeah, go Louis.
Yeah, just a quick one on that. Because I know with us father, like our kids, when they're younger, they're naturally more on, if I discipline, they kind of obey. But when Noemi does, sometimes they kind of play up. And Noemi will just call me and say, okay, you have to deal with this one, your kids are like this. But when I get in, what I do is I actually call them, I discipline them, not for the issue, but for not following Noemi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just reinforce it, okay, you have to follow your mom. And then whatever the issue is, you can solve it with mom. But the thing there is, I discipline them, not for the issue, but for not following
That's
mom.
A good point.
Yeah.
So it's a concept that you're teaching your children to follow Noemi.
Yep. Just reinforcing
especially
that.
Especially when you're not there. And that takes time, perseverance, frustration. It takes a lot of stuff to get to
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think what I want to say is this, it's that overbalance when you can tell that, like for instance, I know in your household, Eagle, I know you're the man of the household. Right? That's clear to me. I've been around you, I know you. So I would never suspect that of you or your family. But there are other households where you just know that the woman is the more dominant one of the family. Okay, that's what I'm dealing with here. And she's the one who's kind of almost leading the way, and the guy's almost like following. It's not the reverse. You've got to, this is subtle. And for some guys, you know, they like it because, yeah, go right ahead. Why should I bother? You know, I mean, you just go ahead and do it, you know. And the guy's not active enough. He's not in there enough. And the woman just starts taking over naturally. And the guy's just kind of following naturally. And you don't even realise, you know. So that's what I think we've got to watch out. The men need to be men. You know, sons need to be led by men. You know, if you want your son to grow up as men, they need an example of a father, of a man leader. It's not going to happen if the woman is dominating. You're not going to get that. Very rarely will you get that, okay? It won't happen. So, Lindy.
It's not always to do with being dominating. It might be just that the men tend to get really absorbed in whatever they're doing and they don't notice what's going on around them. Yep. There's a big commotion going on, they're completely
oblivious. look. Lindy, I hate to say this. I appreciate you saying that, but look, with the majority of men, they know exactly what's going on,
and they
want to take the soft option. They just want to be lazy. They want to give their own thing, and they just couldn't be bothered half the time. And sometimes it's got to be called what it's called, you know. So
can I just say something there?
Yeah, let's move on.
I know for me, again, another example, when the boys played up, and say Mike was there, but he was absorbed in something or whatever, you know, whatever it was, and, you know, I wasn't getting through, I'd start to get frustrated. So then I'd go and talk to Mike and say, honey, I'm not getting through. I think you need to talk to Brandon or Jared or whatever it is. If he didn't do it at that point, I would feel, or I knew he wasn't going to, because occasionally that happened, really, but occasionally that happened, I would feel disrespected as a woman. And then feel like I'm not worth a lot and feel like, yeah, just I'm not very important and very disrespected. And so then I would take over the discipline and start getting louder. And, of course, that's always an ugly scene. And you know, kids don't appreciate the mother getting really loud and yelling. So when the man doesn't do his job, I'm not trying to preach to the men here, but if the man doesn't perhaps step in with the discipline... It's really hard for the women because we become ugly characters at that point. I know I do. So we really need for you to listen to what your wife's trying to say, and then like what Louis does, you know, deal with the children whenever he can, when he gets home from work or whatever, and put those godly principles into being. Because otherwise you just feel, as a woman, you just feel, get out of control and you get naggy, and we give into fear. I know I give into fear. And, oh, the kids are going to be really naughty. They're not going to become Christians or whatever it is. So.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up. What I'd like us to do, there's another one planned. When is it for? The 22nd of March, is that correct? It's on the website. Or is it the 30th of March?
30th.
I think it's the 30th, yeah, 30th of March. So, look, by all means, I won't have a question time. We'll wrap it up there. Please, after today, and I appreciate what Skevy was saying, okay, and sometimes we need clarification on things. I'd like us to go away and write down some questions from today's session. What we talked about. I know some of you are recording it and stuff, but just think of some examples or things. You may have heard some things, think, oh, I'm not sure about that, like what Skevy said. Can we get some clarification on that? And let's talk about it openly. These discussions are good. Okay, we need to have these times. We've got to, want to try and make these times purely as practical, you know, as we can. One thing we didn't even talk about at the end, you know, to smack or not to smack, that sort of stuff. And so we can talk about those things. But I'd like you to, we want to spend at least maybe half an hour first up for the next session, just talk about some of the questions you have from today's session. Does that sound okay? So I really appreciate it if you could do that. All right, so that'd be great. All right, let's. That's a wrap. That's a take, as they say. And let's have a great time of fellowship, or go home. Get some. Oh, sorry. Go get your kids.